Hello, family of God. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio. It is good to be with you again, both virtually and in person. Today's biblical portrait of a nuclear family, the supposed ideal of two parents, two kids, is no pretty depiction of a happy-go-lucky household. Parents exhibit flagrant favoritism and conspire across generations as the two sons compete for the seemingly scarce resources of birthright and blessing. After Boldface lying to his father Isaac and cheating his brother Esau out of the blessing intended for the firstborn, Jacob is fleeing for his life when he lies down in a strange place with a stone for a pillow and sees the heavenly messengers on the staircase. And the God of his grandfather Abraham speaks to him. Today's lectionary passage focuses on Jacob's dream, but I feel like we need the context of the story, the lying, the cheating, the threats of murder, running away, to remind us that God didn't choose Jacob because he was such an upstanding, honest guy who was doing his best to follow God. Jacob was none of that yet. And I think we need to be reminded occasionally that God loves us not because we are doing such a great job, but because God's love is good and faithful and forgiving, reaching out to us even when we are running away from our mistakes, our past, our family, ourselves. God's message to Jacob is one of continuity of ancestors into the future, at a time when Jacob's ties to his family are broken. He has left parents and his twin brother and is alone for the first time in his life. For Jacob, the future is uncertain and the past is behind. But God stands above the human timeline when all we can see is separation and doubt, and speaks faithfulness from past to present to generations not yet born. And so today I want to focus on God's words to Jacob as speaking into our own experiences of separation and continuity. Our ancestors who have passed, our family who are old and increasingly frail, our experience of living in this place and time, and those who are yet to come. But first I want to acknowledge, as I think scripture states in its own way, that our experiences of family differ widely. Maybe you have no biological ancestors to claim. Maybe you have distanced yourself from your family of origin to choose a healthier life. Maybe you are estranged from family, not by your own choice, but by theirs. Family is complicated, which is why I think we need to include Jacob's story of family. And remember Abraham's messy relationships with Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. Again, nothing we would advertise as the ideal Christian American family model. If you have mixed feelings about generational continuity, you are not alone. And hopefully there's something here in God's words to Jacob when he is alone and disconnected that will also speak to you and ground you in God's faithful love. So let us turn our focus to the message Jacob hears in his sleep. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. What does it mean to Jacob for the Lord to identify as his grandfather Abraham's God? Abraham has been dead for over 50 years. According to some biblical math, Jacob was about 15 when his grandfather died and 77 when he left home. Calculating the years of various lifetimes in Genesis, well, whether you consider this ancient text to have reliable math by our modern minds or as having its own sense of lifetimes that doesn't translate well into our view of lifespan, either way, Abraham is long dead when the Lord makes this assertion of being, right then, I am the God of your father Abraham, which is also obviously a different interpretation of father than we would use, a stronger statement of connection, closer than grandfather, and affirmed in the present, not the past. Not, I was the God of your grandfather Abraham, I am the God of your father Isaac, and I will be your God too, but all present tense, God is. Generations later, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus also addresses this present tense of God's identity. When he was questioned about the future of marriage and doubt about resurrection, Jesus quoted Exodus 3, when God spoke to Moses many generations after this encounter with Jacob. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So Jesus, addressing the Sadducees' attempts to entrap him with questions about who will be married to whom after the resurrection, Jesus answered and said to them in Matthew 22, verses 29 through 32, you are mistaken, since you do not understand the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus asserts that the ancestors are alive to God. God is their God. God is not constrained by our experience of earthly life and death and time. What does it say to us that our ancestors, our physical or spiritual predecessors, are alive to God? What meaning might that hold for us now about blessing, forgiveness, continuity, and faithfulness? One of the gifts of the Jubilee celebration was the sense of family reunion, of connecting with our spiritual predecessors, and remembering those who have passed and their many contributions to our fellowship. We began with the time to speak their names and included a poster board where people could write the names of those who have gone on. Today, that poster sits at the entrance to the sanctuary as a reminder. And later today, we will celebrate the life and faith of Judy Checker. None of these spiritual ancestors were perfect, and we too have the choice to see them through eyes of faith and forgiveness, as God does, and gratitude for their many gifts to us. And so now we are going to take a few moments in our service to reflect God's words to Jacob and later to Moses, as Jesus reminded us, into our experience of spiritual ancestors and speak their names. A few. I am the God of. I am the God of Donna Simpkins. I am the God of Jerry Welch. I am the God of Lenita Eppinger. I am the God of Bruce Hurtig. I am the God of Elaine Mustaine. I am the God of David Armstead. I am the God of Lerna Engels. I am the God of Judy Checker. Please take a moment to speak the names of those who have gone on to be with the Lord, who have been spiritual ancestors to you. And if no names come to mind, you might ask the Lord to reveal to you that sense of faithfulness and generational continuity of blessing, perhaps beginning with you in this present time. I am the God of. The second part of God's identifying self to Jacob is to assert being the God of Isaac. His father Isaac, who has gone blind, whose own wife conspires to deceive him, who prefers his eldest son Esau the hunter. Jacob left his father knowing that he will likely die before Jacob returns. It is a complicated relationship between Isaac and his younger son. And Jacob must have had mixed feelings about deceiving him and leaving him. So how does it feel to Jacob to hear the Lord say, "I am the God of Isaac, your sick and dying father who liked your brother better than you"? So here I would like to pause and remember and pray for those spiritual parents who are ill or coming to the end of their earthly life. We may have complicated relationships with them. Perhaps they have hurt us and blessed us. They too are imperfect in their love. And God sees them through the lens of faith as well, forgiveness covering a multitude of sins, and states, "I am the God of." So let us take time to speak the names of our living spiritual parents, praying for comfort in their illness, that they would feel God's presence and our love, that they would be encouraged by the message of God being the God of resurrection and of the living from generation to generation. I am the God of. I am the God of Victor Fine. I am the God of. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers for our spiritual parents. Uphold them, strengthen them in faith. Give them glimpses of generations to come, and then bring them peacefully into your presence to live in your new realm. Amen. The third generation of God's identification is the Lord's proclamation to Jacob to be with him in all his travels and wanderings. From Genesis 28:15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." God asserts the connection to Jacob in his present circumstance, even though Jacob has not yet claimed his father's God as his own. God says, "I am. I am with you, and I will keep you, and I will bring you back." Not because Jacob has proven himself or earned God's favor or even chosen God, but because God has chosen him. Jesus asserts a similar connection to his disciples from John 15, verses 16 to 17. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." We too have been chosen, chosen to bear fruit, as Jeff taught last week, chosen to be loved and to love. Do you need to hear your chosenness today? Not based on your own good deeds, but on God's love and plan for your life. Jacob was not alone on his journey, and we are not alone either. Even though at times we may feel cut off from family or ancestors, or when we ourselves have no vision of a future, God is nearer to us than we can imagine. As Jacob said when he awoke from his dream, "The Lord is certainly in this place, and I did not know it." So this third time of prayer is for us in our present situations, prayers for each other not to feel alone, prayers to deeply understand our chosenness, prayers that we would bear fruit that would last, and learn to better love one another. Lord, we pray for vision into your heavenly realm, that we might experience the nearness of your messengers. Help us to hear your choosing of us, your presence with us when we feel alone, and your constant companionship wherever we go. Enable us to experience your love and forgiveness so that we may love and forgive as you have. And may your faithfulness enable us to bear fruit that lasts for your kingdom. Amen. The fourth and future generations of God's promise to Jacob are about his descendants and the continuity of God's plan to bless all people through him. From Genesis 28:14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we want to pray for future generations. And I would also like to consider New Covenant's future. At the Jubilee, we experience the sense that God has spread us out to all corners of the earth, blessing people wherever we have gone. And we shared what God is doing through us now in this next generation to bless our community. We're in the process of collecting nominations for new members to join the leadership team. This is part of the continuity of blessing and bearing fruit. The transition to the next generations takes time. Jacob wasn't exactly ready yet. His experience with the Lord was brand new. He was still relying on the faith of his grandfather and his father as God called Jacob to begin to live into the promise for himself. So I'd like to take time to both pray for the future and to give space to write down names of fellowship participants who might be ready for the experience of serving on the leadership team. Currently serving on the LT are Elizabeth Rickey through December 2026, Vern Fine, Nancy Miller, and Valerie Hoffman through 2027, and Tim Clark alongside Pastor Melissa and myself and Carolyn Vance as secretary. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and guidance as we live into the next generation of this fellowship. Give us experiences of your closeness, those thin places between heaven and earth. Let us hear your voice and know your presence with us. Help us to choose you again and again from generation to generation. May our words and actions glorify you. May we live into the kingdom of Jesus as we share the good news of God's love and resurrection. Amen. To close this reflection on God's faithfulness to each generation and our place within the continuity of God's plan, we will hear a new song written by Lori Kaufman in honor of David Armstead, an amazing musician who gifted us with his talents for many years and passed into God's next realm in April of 2016. May we taste the sweetness of the continuity of God's love for us from before we were born to after we have passed, as we remember generations that came before us. May God's words give us comfort in our losses and hope for the future. And may we too be a blessing to the families of the earth. Amen.